RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
At home, do you have a desegregated bathrooms policy? In your workplace, do you have a desegregated bathrooms policy? Why am I asking these questions, you're thinking? Well, the Ministry of Education has a new desegregated bathrooms policy. Remember a few years ago when Winston Peters and other New Zealand First members proposed regulations that segregated bathrooms by gender in order to prevent biological men from being in women's spaces? And we wanted to dive into this a little. And joining us in just a moment, Bob McCroskery from Family First to opine on the Ministry of Education's new desegregated bathrooms policy. First, have a listen to this.
I'm telling you, you're on a different planet if you want to have a conversation about bathrooms and make that an election issue.
So Christopher Luxon there, campaigning last year, commenting on New Zealand First's proposed regulations that segregated bathrooms by gender. So the Ministry of Education wants to desegregate bathrooms. To talk about this, Bob McCroskery, Family First, joins me now. Hi, Bob. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Paul. Good to be here.
Okay, so we just heard that clip of Luxon.
Yeah.
He wasn't reading the room then.
Well, I think possibly he is reading the room in that most of us think that bathrooms should be just based on biological sex, and it's been done for centuries now. And in fact, it's only a small minority and some activists that are wanting to change things and remove signs and remove urinals and avoid any mention of biology. So in some ways he is right. The problem is that he's not reading the agenda. And the agenda is clearly to push gender ideology. And it's coming through a number of government organisations in terms of putting your preferred pronouns on your email signatures, ACC talking about being able to use the toilet of your gender identity. But now the Ministry of Education, of course, we know they've been pushing the whole issue of being able to choose your sex when you get from 7 years onwards, and possibly even earlier. We've seen evidence of it being trained in preschool teachers' professional development. So the Ministry of Education doesn't seem to have got the memo that New Zealanders want to get on with biology, and they're happy to push this agenda, and they're still putting out these policy documents, one as recent as March, which was actually, 4 or 5 months since the new government came in.
Yeah. Just one more on Luxon. He must know, at least these universal bathrooms that they talk about in the language of it, that that could set up some very awkward situations, particularly for girls, I'm thinking in schools and that sort of thing. To not be conscious of that, to not have that come to mind as the first thing,
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got two daughters, and he's got a daughter, and I think that, you know, we don't want our daughters in changing rooms or toilet facilities where there's possibility of a biological male, whatever their intention. It's just privacy and safety and dignity. Now, the problem is, I think, Paul, is not that he doesn't realise it's an issue. It's that the National Party doesn't want to go anywhere near these social issues, socially conservative issues. So when it comes to anything like abortion, euthanasia, LGBT issues, gender ideology, these policies that we're seeing come through, school toilets, birth certificates, they just roll over. They don't want it even talked about, even the definition of woman. They don't want to even discuss that issue around how do we define women in public policy, and can we really do gender comparisons and target health services at particular genders if we can't even define what is a male and what is a female. So, they're just allergic to any discussions around these areas. I mean, as we know, Luxon said abortion is totally off the agenda. He wasn't going to touch it. I just don't think, whatever the issue is, I've never been sort of aware of politicians who just put issues off the agenda. He should be saying, well, if a bill comes forward, we'll look at the merits of it and discuss it. But National doesn't want to go anywhere near this stuff. Fortunately, we've got New Zealand First, who are doing a bit of, activating of these issues.
And they've gone up.
Yeah.
All right. Ministry of Education's new desegregated bathrooms policy. I've had a quick scan. I mentioned one of the words they used in there, the universal bathroom.
Yeah.
You go in there as a unicorn standing there or something. I don't know. So you've done a deeper dive. How do you want to describe it?
Well, it's just gender ideology 101. It's interesting because right at the start, they have a few quotes from people. And of course, there's some quotes saying that, you know, we want toilets safe for transgender and they need to be neutral and et cetera. But then there's also a quote that says they're not just a toilet, they're a safe space physically and mentally. It's interesting that half the population, women, aren't considered in this whole debate. And yet, you know, 1% maybe, if you're generous, are suddenly dictating actually who can use the toilets, and it's all about their safe space. So that was the first problem. But when you go into it, I mean, there's a lot of virtue signaling, and it talks about schools being responsive, and one of the ways they can be responsive, and they're talking about toilet design, is that they enable akonga whānau and community to authentically engage and participate in local tikanga, matarangi Māori and te ao Māori.
While you're sitting on the John.
Yeah, while you're sitting in it. Exactly, and they want the design to support te ao Māori values and celebrate cultural activities and spaces within the school. I mean, I don't know, Paul, but I never realised that Māori apparently use a toilet in a different way to other.
That is like dream time thinking, pulling in, I don't know, an ablution piece of equipment. It's kind of weird. It's over the top. And when they say safe space, do they mean, you know, doing your business in private and, you know that the door will lock and, you know, the acoustic treatment is right and all of that? What do they mean? No. Somewhere to go, whether you're needing to go or not, to feel
no,
safe?
No, safe space is a new code word for basically people who get very upset and are snowflakes don't want to be upset. So a safe space is basically where they dictate what's going on and don't you go near it or else you'll be cancelled. That's the problem with a lot of language in this document. I mean, it's interesting. You said about the word universal bathroom, which, of course, most people think of the disabled bathroom when they think about the universal one, because effectively it's got all the facilities. It's got the wash basin, it's got the shower, and it's got the bathroom in one area. But it's interesting because they say all schools have to provide this. In some ways, that's exactly what Winston Peters was saying. He said, have a clear male, have a clear female, and then have a unisex one. But, of course, you're not allowed to use the word unisex anymore. I never realised this, Paul. Oh. But when they talk about toilet signs, they say that you've got to start using inclusive terminology such as all gender, all abilities, for a toilet, all abilities, which sort of, you know, makes you wonder. Inclusive toilet, and they say avoid the term unisex because it focuses on biological sex rather than the spectrum of gender. I mean, you know, a script writer for Disney could probably have written this document, and even then it wouldn't be wild.
Imagine getting the job to write that, Bob.
Oh, look, I'm sure there's plenty of woke people out there that
you'd have to wonder, have I hit the peak of what I'm doing or with this or what, you know?
And they say when choosing the signage for toilet doors, consider icons and signs that are inclusive, easily readable. Well, yeah, I agree, easily readable. But they want signage that communicates the functional use of the toilet cubicle rather than allocating use by sex.
Sort of like pictures or graphics of what you can do?
Well, that's a very good point, actually, because they don't want figures wearing pants or dresses, because this is, you know, too binary.
Oh, man, they're disappearing up their own, you know what?
Yeah, shocking. But what they do is they suggest some signs. Now, none of them have boys, girls, male or female. They just have wharepaku, which is Māori for toilet. And the closest you can figure out that one of them may be female is that one of the signs basically has the receptacle for women. I mean, I don't even know that much about it because I've never been in a woman's toilet.
Well, that's it.
Appropriate for women having their period, okay? So I don't know what the technical term for that is.
Sanitary equipment.
Yeah, that's right. And so, I mean, I agree with Fern Hickson, Resist Gender Education. We've been quoting her because she said, reducing girls to a menstruation icon is deeply offensive. And she also says, we're talking about young pre-menstrual girls in primary schools. And she just puts up a really good argument that says, look, girls and boys' toilets are different. You've got girls, only girls need to remove clothing, make skin contact with the toilet seat, manage menstrual flow when using a toilet. Us guys, we just wander in, we won't go into detail, but we can use the urinal. But the urinal's been banned because they have said urinals are not permitted in new builds. And effectively, urinals are too much reminder that boys are different from girls.
Yeah.
And I actually did a bit of research into why we have urinals, Paul, because I knew you'd be really interested.
Next question, actually, Bob.
Well, I was fascinated, actually, because there's a number of good reasons that urinals are used, not only because we don't have to wait long at halftime at a sports stadium, us boys, but apparently it uses way less water in a flush, so the greens should be on side. It takes up less space. It avoids queues. It reduces fluid contact with the surface, obviously, and it minimises splashing, so therefore reduces the spread of germs, and they're far easier to clean.
You sold me.
So, you know, I know, that's just it, but when you're pushing an ideology, conserving water and encouraging hygiene aren't important, so you really need to get on the program, Paul.
So what I'm hearing here is this: all these sort of contortions, right, to make something, like to get the square peg in the round hole, you know, that's what's going on here.
Well, it's starting early with gender ideology, as we already knew, but of course it's not limited to just what's going on in terms of curriculum and relationship sexuality education. It's also about indoctrinating it, even through which toilet you go to and what you're doing there, because apparently the function is different. It's been made different by gender ideology. Who knew? So that's just how sort of crazy it's got. And the only good thing in the document is that it says that schools are still able to have some level of choice. But I do know that every time a school does a new rebuild or does a renovation, they are being pressured to change the toilets to unisex, although you can't call them unisex anymore, of course, because that's got that naughty
universal
word. Yeah, universal, yeah.
So it kind of seems to me to be okay, given, you know, maybe some accommodation. Old style, boys, girls, lose.
Yeah.
And then something that Winston, I think, was talking about, or New Zealand First were talking about, this unisex, universal thing.
Yeah.
So the choices are still there. So that's kind of acceptable, isn't it, in the end?
Well, that's actually what we always argued would be a possible solution. And there was actually a school in Nelson or around that way, that it was a girls' school, and they enrolled a biological boy. And so what they said was, I mean, they shouldn't have enrolled a biological boy in a girls' school, but anyway, they did. Mm. And then the boy was obviously an activist and wanted to use the toilets. And so they said, you can use a staff toilet, but no, when you're an activist, you want to force the issue. And so they did a petition and got everybody, you know, on side that the boy should be able to use a girl's toilets because they're identified as a girl. The problem in the whole issue, as we found out through Official Information Act requests, was that they never actually canvassed the opinions of the girls. And we actually produced a video with a girl from the school who said nobody asked her first, that, you know, that she didn't want a biological boy. And of course, now you do get some reports of where girls actually don't go to the toilet during the day because they just don't want to be in the
same. That's so bloody sad.
Yeah, it's shocking. So, you know, it seems like an easy solution, but when you are trying to ram an ideology down, you don't allow for exceptions because that stops it being rammed down. And it's just crazy. But I think, you know, what it shows is that the government is dealing with a lot of activists in government departments. And that's why I often tweet that if they're cutting jobs from government departments, please make sure that they're in the gender identity department in the Wokesville areas.
Do you think it'll ever be that, you know, Luxon's kind will actually come out and what did you say, not be so allergic to this? Because that kind of needs to happen at some point, doesn't it?
Well, having seen all but 7 of the National Party vote to criminalise parents under the conversion therapy law, And having seen every National MP have to vote for the birth certificates bill, which has turned them into just ideological nonsense now, not based on biology, but how you identify, no, I don't have a lot of optimism around National unless they suddenly realise. I think the only way that they'll suddenly realise is if they see that there's votes in it and they need to keep their voters on side. And I know that Courier Market Research did some polling for Resist Gender Education again, and they asked, should toilets in schools be based on biological sex? 69%, basically 70% said yes, only 16% disagreed. So once again, it's always that 10 to 15% that I've found that with all the polling we've done around gender as well. There's a kind of a hardcore 10 to 20% that are right into this gender ideology and can't see any problem with it. But the rest of the population can see all the problems of boys playing in girls' sports, of boys going into girls' toilets, of children being told that they can change their sex and the confusion that it is, giving kids puberty blockers, etc.
Yeah, so it's a kind of in that area, it's like a uniparty, Labour, National, isn't it really?
Uniparty. Yeah, I mean, they've both come to the centre, although I say that they've come, they're both on the, social area, they're both left parties, left-wing parties. And it's really only New Zealand First that is trumpeting some of these issues. ACT are also socially liberal. So it's a pretty tough domain.
All right. Anything else to say about that? About the bathroom strategy?
No, I think I would just encourage parents to check what schools are doing in this area around toilets, and just don't assume that when your child goes to school now that they will have the choice of a boys and girls toilet. Just pop into the school one day, say hello to the teacher, and check out the toilets just for your own sake.
Oh, and before you go, Bob, the event, at the end of the week?
Yep, Forum on the Family is happening on Friday. We've got about 650 delegates coming. We're meeting in Manukau City, and there's quite a few speakers. Jonathan Haidt, we're interviewing by Zoom. We've pre-recorded it, and it's based on his book, The Anxious Generation, around the whole area of smartphones and kids being raised a phone-based childhood instead of a play-based childhood. We've also got Chloe Cole, who's a 19-year-old detransitioner, started transitioning when she was 12, had a double mastectomy at 15, and at 16 realised that she'd made a massive mistake. She'll be with hearing alone. Melissa Oden, who survived a failed abortion. Katie Faust, who is from Them Before Us, talks about children's rights, a child's right to have a mother and a father. Who else? We've got Maggie Hamilton, who has written a number of books around child well-being and also around social media, the effect of social media and sexualization of girls. So quite a feast of speakers. On the Thursday night, we're having a gala dinner, which is our Independence Day. It's the second year anniversary of the government kicking us out of the charities register. So we're going to really party up for Independence Day because it's the best thing that ever happened to us.
That's interesting.
There's nothing better than not having to be beholden to a whole lot of paperwork and red tape from being on a register. And and we've got a guy called Lyle Shelton who's speaking at that. He's from Australia. He's currently being sued by drag queens in Australia. It's been going on for, I think, 2 to 3 years, and it's cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that's going to be kind of relevant, eh?
Yeah, considering I think that's happening here too somebody that we know of. All right, and if people want to go anywhere and check on the details again, Bob, website, web address, somewhere to go?
Well, I can't. It's full up. So they're going to have to wait until we produce the sessions, and we'll make that available down the track, and they'll be able to watch it, but they've missed out a great event and they really need to start listening more.
Bob, do what Bob says. Bob McCrossery.
Familyfirst.nz.
Say it again because I talked over you.
Familyfirst.nz. It's the only place to go for good media now.
All right. We'll catch up again sometime.
Apart from RCR, of course.
Yeah, well, I was going to let that go, but thank you.
Yeah, no, sorry about that.
That's okay. All right. Now we'll talk again, I'm sure. Good luck with the event and thanks for coming on.
Okay. Cheers, Paul.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.